WBAN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Hour two of the National Intel Report on this 20th. Oh, geez. 20th day of June 2019. Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Chance.
Yes, and your previous caller was exactly right about Anthony Johnson, too. He was very correct about that. That's a fact. You know, when my ancestors came here, they worked in factories. They all worked very, very hard, long hours to provide for their families. And I don't believe in playing patty cake with these people once they open their mouth and they want reparations. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to hold a fistful of dollars under their nose and say to them, if you could take this money out of my hand and escape with all your teeth intact, you're welcome to it. That's all I got to say.
No, they'll just go to their first giving politician and save their dentures. Thank you for your call, Chance. The following are the 10 most memorable quotes from Thursday night's Democratic presidential debate. I already covered Kamala Harris. Marianne Williamson. Boy, there's somebody, when I look into that woman's eyes, oh, and she's standing there and she's talking about love. And I'm looking into those little pee holes in the snow thinking, there ain't no love in there, baby. That's just your political hook. Marianne Williamson, she said, I'll tell you one thing. It's really nice that we've got all these plans, but if you think we're going to get beat Donald Trump just by having all these plans, well, you got another thing coming. John Hickenlooper, former governor of Colorado. If we don't clearly define we are not socialists, the Republicans are going to come at us in every way they can to call us socialist. Stupid, not conforming to the office that you're seeking, and there's no way you could take the oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and the only thing you want to do is violate it. No, thank you. Representative Eric Swalwell. I was 6 years old when presidential candidate come to the California Democratic Convention and said it's time to pass the torch to a new generation of Americans. That candidate was then Senator Joe Biden. Oh, Camilla jumps back in. America does not want to witness a food fight. And this encapsulates the thinking of these politicians. You know, this is a very short quote, but she says America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table. What's this we stuff, Camilla? What do you mean we? I didn't know that it was your job to put food on my table. I know that you got a centralized federal government. You want to control anybody and everything. But it's not your job to put food on my table. Your job is to stay out of my way so I can earn my own bread and butter. This is something that's missing on these Democrats, as well as Republicans, depending on the subject. Oh, and this one, Mayor Pete Buttigieg. No, I don't think the country's ready to put a homo in the White House. He says our party doesn't talk much about that as much, largely for very good reasons. We're committed to the separation of church and state. Yeah, I'd want to get away from the Bible, too, because there's that thing, yeah. But we should call out hypocrisy when we see it. Okay, you hypocrite. I saw it, and you're a hypocrite. And for the party that associates itself with Christianity to say it's okay that God would smile at the divisions of families at the hands of federal agents, that God would condone putting children in cages, it has lost all claim to ever use religious language again. Thank you, Mr. What I'm really thinking, I cannot say on air. Terrible. And, of course, the two pee holes in the snow, Marianne Williamson, what Donald Trump has done to these children is kidnapping. And it is important for us to realize that, she said. If you forcibly take a child from their parents, yeah, I think we call that the Child Protective Services. And you put them in containment center, thus inflicting chronic trauma upon them. No, the trauma was dragging children across many, many miles of countries, foreign territory, to do an illegal act. That's what I have a problem with. By the way, since Trump has been talking to the Mexican presidente and he threatened sanctions, you know, put a little tax on the imported goods into the country, around 25%. All of a sudden, they refigured and, well, they're doing a little bit more about the illegals because the arrests at our border are down 30%. But no, we don't want to give Donald Trump that because he's a racist. He hates illegals. He hates Mexicans. And other than Mexicans, evidently. Yeah, we're just going to keep talking about that. I don't hate anybody. You know, and I'm all for diversity, believe it or not. I like diverse countries. I like countries that are different from ours. I want to go see a culture, taste their cuisine, you know, see how they live, see how they play, you know, that kind of deal. I'm a very diverse person. I think every country has the right for their own culture to remain intact. Not like this invasion that's going on in this country right now and has been going on for a number of years. Have you heard recently people touting numbers? You know, it was 11 million. Oh, there's 11 million illegals in this country. Really? 11 million, huh? If we shipped them all back, there'd be labor shortages, and people would have to pay white people to mow their lawns and give them a fair wage. Yeah. So she said this is collective child abuse. And when this is a crime, both of those things are a crime. And if your government does it, that doesn't make it less of a crime. That is state-sponsored crime. How do you even go about starting to address something like this? And she was touting love. You know, I don't know about you folks, but I'm outside of immediate circles, you know, do you actually love strangers? I don't. Do you? You know, I will exercise respect for people, the same treatment I would expect them to give me. A little bit of space, don't get in my face. We encounter each other, be polite. I try to do that every single time I encounter a stranger. Now, do I love that stranger? I don't know anything about him. What they seem to want to stay away from, they go right for the heartstrings. And I've said this before, respect is different than love. If you have a loved one, would you fight to the death? Would you substitute your life for theirs if they were in a life-threatening situation? Would you voluntarily give up your life to save theirs? Now, that's love. But would you do that for a total stranger? I don't think so. There's this little inbuilt thing in us called fight or flight, self-preservation. Respect is the key. Respect is the word that they don't want to bring up. because these are some of the most disrespectful people on the face of the planet. But they're all touting love, and we're the love party. Not one of respect, but love. Well, I don't need your brand of love. Senator Michael Bennett, the president has been right to push back on China. Now, but has done it completely the wrong way. We should mobilize the entire rest of the world. Now, here's the thinking of this senator, a seated senator. We should mobilize the entire rest of the world who all have shared interest in pushing back on China's mercantilistic trade policies, and I think we can do that. Wait a minute. Donald Trump is doing that. We were running $600 to $800 million deficits with these people every single year. They were taking our technologies. They were doing a lot of different things. And Trump is still talking to Xi, hoping that they can come to an accommodation where an agreement benefits both sides rather than hurting one party. And Trump was exactly right. So I don't know who these people were that set up this deal with China, but they were idiots, and they were. And again, you know, the free trade, not fair, but free. Amazing. And old Bernie, guys, Bernie is looking more and more angry all the time. About healthcare, the healthcare plan, he said, yes, you will pay more in taxes, but they will pay less for healthcare than what they get now. Thanks, Bernie. Yes. I want you for president. And Marianne pops back up again. Mr. President, if you're listening, I want you to hear me, please. You have harnessed fear for political purposes, and only love can cast that out. But perhaps the most memorable moment of the entire debate didn't involve any talking at all. At one point, the candidates were asked to raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants. Every single one of them raised their hand. How do you think that's going to fly with your constituency? They don't have health care. He didn't come up with a viable plan, neither did the Republicans. The Republicans said, oh, we're going to dump it. Nah, they just wanted to modify it and make it more palatable. Well, it's not palatable in any way, shape, or form, even a little bit. Every single one of them raised their hand. So how are you going to tell your constituents that we're willing to give free health care to illegals, but, yeah, you can go suck an egg? And again, the government getting involved with something that should be regulated by what standard? Free market. These people are there for a profit. The healthcare industry is there for a profit. Let them compete with each other. Don't rig the market against us, because you know damn right well that is what is going to happen. Remember Obamacare? Well, the excuse there was, well, not everybody signed up. That's why your premiums are so high. This was self-serving. The insurance companies wrote the damn bill in the first place because the assets in Washington, most of them being lawyers, couldn't seem to come up with the verbiage for the bill themselves, so they just let the healthcare people do it for them. How convenient. And then they try to sell this stuff to us. And you people are wondering why nobody is listening to you in Washington, D.C.? And every time you open up your mouth, you get a bunch of stuff thrown back at you. Haven't you figured out why yet? I guess you haven't. Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
Hi, John.
Hi.
A while back when you were talking about Buttigieg.
Don't you love the name? Don't you just love the name?
I know. It evokes all kinds. Never mind.
Yeah, I know.
You just said we weren't ready for one in the White House. I think you should have said we're not ready for another one so soon.
Well, but everybody still believes that Barack Obama was a natural-born citizen, and his wife isn't a tranny, and he's not a homosexual. I mean, come on, man. Ken, did you see the internet has been scrubbed of these pictures. It took a long time to get them off of there. But when Obama was living in Hawaii with Frank Marshall, did you see some of the photos that the foo-foo used to run around in? Oh, my goodness.
I have a vivid imagination.
Let me tell you something. I saw the pictures, and like I said, they had been scrubbed from the internet. Yeah.
All right. Now, you asked the question, why would she do these things, or why was she the kind of person she was? And haven't we seen this in the past where, for example, either a government or a CIA asset will take Obama's mother for first case is apparently she had some unique tastes that suited her for infiltrating the so-called black radicals in Chicago, and the FBI took advantage of that. Then there was Hinckley. Wasn't Hinckley's father attached to the CIA, and wasn't the kid, he was on drugs, kind of like a wind-up toy?
And, it's rather fascinating.
What about Adam Lanza?
Do you remember seeing the picture of the killer of John Lennon? There was one picture that was snapped, and he was getting a autograph signed by him, and he's standing more towards his back and to the left, and Hinckley's standing there with a big smile on his face. You know, this if there wasn't a Manchurian candidate, I don't know what was.
Who's the one that tried to shoot Reagan? Or did shoot Reagan.
Oh, and got the doughboy in instead? Well, actually did get a shot into Reagan. I forget the guy's name.
Yeah, he was also, I think he was also either would qualify as a wind-up toy, or he's on drugs, and he may have been related to somebody in his family was in the government. I think every once in a while, it could be one of two things. They either have to give one up for the cause, or maybe they're just disappointed in their own children, and they're willing to let them go, so to speak.
I don't know, but I'm listening to this debate last night, and they're all talking about the children. And I was watching one of the hour-long episodes that Roger Stone had done, and showing rather graphic pictures of dead children blown apart, mud and dust and blood covered, laying on the ground. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, wow, these people keep talking about keeping our children safe. They're looking out for our children. And what we're seeing is the only way I can describe this, Ken, as I did before, this child abuse, the programming of the children, screwing them up at very young ages. Now we're going to pre-kindergarten to teach them about being accepting about homosexuality and transgenderism and lesbianism and all this stuff. These are children, and they're in there screwing their minds up. And I'm looking at these people. I mean, hypocrite doesn't cover it. The term hypocrite does not cover it.
The only thing I think that will stop this is something that I've measured. It may be a bit on the harsh side of strict, but there needs to be a few convictions and a couple public executions, and then I think a lot of it will straighten up.
Or either that or start the biggest race riot we've ever seen.
Mm.
You know, and ironically, you saw this happen a couple of weeks ago, Ken. There were rumblings that, maybe we should just have a revolution and we should just take up arms. That died a quick death. Because from our perspective, the common person out there, whether they were part of a militia, they joined a militia, or they can involve themselves in conservative groups or whatever the case may be, I've not seen acts of violence. I've seen staged acts of violence, but the more conservative Christian type, you know, to the right people in this country, they're not out there threatening. They're not out there shooting or beating people up or smashing stores or looting or doing any of that other stuff. We can see what's going on, but when it passes through the filter of the media, somehow what we're seeing doesn't match what we're seeing. Don't let your lying eyes lie to you. God almighty. Ken, thanks for your call, my friend.
Good night.
You have a good
weekend.
All right.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, horrors of horrors. Donald Trump was talking to Vladimir Putin. And I'm looking at the people that were at this Osaka summit. John Bolton, Warhawk. Mike Pompeo, Warhawk idiot. Steve Mnuchin. Gosh. And I'll tell you what, the body language and just the general demeanor between Trump and Putin, they were having a good laugh. I'm telling you, these guys, I don't see any animosity between these two guys. And the very people that would like to see us pitch battle against Russia were sitting in that room and representing the United States. And it was, to me, a joke. Now, forgive me, but the loud camera clicks. Can somebody please, if we're going to continue to use these cameras, can you make the shutter noises? The cameras don't have film anymore. Okay. Can I have a little indication? Can I have a slight noise rather than this raucous, the photographs start going off and then you can't hear what people are saying. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's the first 15 seconds of this video. Listen to this. Sounds like a Tommy gun. They're both standing there for the photo op. A reporter asked, Mr. President, will you tell Russia not to meddle in the elections? And the look on Trump's face is like, what? And Putin has got this big grin on his face like, you still at it? Wow. In the 2020 elections? And the response from Trump is, of course I will. Don't meddle in the... He looks at Putin that's still smiling and he says, okay, don't meddle in our elections. Putin has a sense of humor as well, I got to tell you. He's sitting there laughing now. Don't meddle in the elections, Trump says again.
Thank you very much, everybody. It's a great honor to be with President Putin, his representative, my representative. We have many things to discuss, including trade and including some disarmament, some little protectionism, perhaps, in a very positive way. And we're going to discuss a lot of different things. We've had great meetings. We have a very, very good relationship. And we look forward to spending some very good time together. A lot of very positive things going to come out of the relationship. So, Vladimir, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, and you just know the vinyl was sucking up off the chairs because, you know, this evil Vladimir Putin in Russia meddling in our elections and doing all this stuff. You know, Putin has been sitting back watching NATO literally trying to surround Russia. We watched the Ukrainian thing. We know what happened there. I think this guy is showing great restraint. Great restraint. Meaning Vladimir Putin. And the fact that both of these men are sitting there side by side, and this isn't a political put on, they actually enjoy each other's company and they find enough common ground that they can crack jokes to each other. Does that sound like an adversarial position to you? And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people and very people that were sitting in that room that supposedly are on Donald Trump's cabinet or his appointees. It must have been driving them absolutely crazy. Because here's Trump talking to Putin. His whole thing was to put that divide back in and drag out the old, the communists, well, it's Russia again. Well, they're out to destroy us. Really? Let the man alone. Let the man alone. You know as well as I do, they're not going to, because there's an agenda afoot. Man, 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 man. And somebody had the unmitigated gall to suggest, and it was none other than Patrick J. Buchanan, suggest that get rid of Bolton and bring in Tulsi Gabbard, which may not be a bad idea. For far too long, our leaders have failed us, taking us into one regime change war after the next, leading us into a new Cold War and an arms race, costing us trillions of our hard-earned taxpayer dollars. Now, it's the hard-earned borrowed money. And countless lives. The insanity must stop. Do you know, the federal budget, they take in a little over, I think it's $3 trillion a year. Guess how much of that budget is spent on military stuff? Over a third. Over a third. And we got Democrats with their hands out going, well, we need this and we need that and we're going to raise taxes. And wait a minute. I got an idea. Let's shut down the 1,000 bases we have overseas. I saw a graph last night, a graphic, I should say. We're in 162 countries with military bases out of the 191, I think, in the United Nations.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
So what did Buchanan have to say about this scene? He goes, nope. You know, the costing of trillions of dollars, 20 years in the Middle East. And, you know, I must admit, some of the Democrats, I forget who was saying it, but they basically said, you know, Iraq. They had George Bush up there, a clip of, I've seen the clip of George Bush declaring that, the mission in Iraq is over. It's now consolidated. No, it's not a consolidated country. It is on the brink of civil war in any given second of any given day. Buchanan said that denunciation of John Bolton interventionism came from Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii during Wednesday night's Democratic debate. At 38, she was the youngest candidate on stage. Gabbard proceeded to rip both the president and his chicken hawk cabinet, who have led to the brink of war with Iran. In a little exchange, Tim Ryan of Ohio, Congress critter of Ohio, countered with, "America cannot disengage from Afghanistan. When we weren't in there, they started flying planes into our buildings." What? What? I thought it was the evil Iraqis that did that. Gabbard replied, "The Taliban didn't attack us on 9/11. Al-Qaeda attacked us on 9/11. Sure they did. What world are these people living in? Do they believe their own propaganda? Oh, and she says, well, that's why I and so many other people joined the military to go after Al-Qaeda, not the Taliban. When Ryan insisted we must stay engaged, Gabbard shot back. Is that what you will tell the parents of those two soldiers who were killed in Afghanistan? Well, we just have to be engaged. As a soldier, I will tell you that answer is unacceptable. We are no better off in Afghanistan than we were when this war began. By debate's end, Gabbard was the runaway winner in both the Drudge Report and Washington Examiner polls and was far in front among the Democrat candidates whose names were being searched on Google. Though given less than 7 minutes of speaking time in the two-hour debate, and was there really a debate? I'm still trying to figure out who was debating. I heard a lot of talking over each other, and I saw a very bad job by the Democrats and putting this presentation. It absolutely was horrible. The production value, I mean, everything was janky, everything was screwed up. And you were just sitting there and just watching this and thinking, wow, is everything the Democrats involved in, does it always get all screwed up? Apparently it does. If she can rise a few points above her 1% to 2% in the polls, she could be assured a spot in the second round of debates. If she is, moderators will go to her with questions on foreign policy issues that would have not been raised without her presence, and these questions will expose the hidden divisions in the Democrat Party. Leading Democrat candidates could be asked to declare what U.S. policy should be, not only toward Afghanistan, but Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Jared Kushner's deal of the century, and Trump's seeming rejection of the two-state solution. Well, you just have to wait a little while. There's not going to be any two-state solution because there's only going to be one state. That's the Israeli state. Come on. That's what they've been doing for all these years, eliminating the Palestinians. Is there any mystery here? Given more airtime, she'll present problems for the GOP as well. For foreign policy, Tulsi Gabbard is not far off from foreign policy Donald Trump promised in 2016, but has since failed to deliver. We still have 2,000 troops in Syria, 5,000 in Iraq, 14,000 in Afghanistan. We just moved an aircraft carrier task force, B-52s, and 1,000 troops to the Persian Gulf to confront Iran. And we're about to impose sanction on the Iranian foreign minister with whom we would need to negotiate to avoid a war. Yeah. The one old Jared Kushner is talking up a U.S.-led consortium to raise $50 billion for the Palestinians in return for their forfeiture of sovereignty and an end to their dream of nation-state on the West Bank and Gaza with Jerusalem as its capital. $50 billion. Jared, are you going to take that out of your own pocket, are you? John Bolton is talking about regime change in Caracas and confronting the troika of tyranny in Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Rather than engaging Russia as Trump promised, we've been sanctioning Russia, arming Ukraine, sending warships into the Black Sea, beefing up NATO in the Baltic, and trashing arms control treaties Ronald Reagan and other presidents negotiated in the Cold War. By the way, the weapons that are being sold, guess out of all the countries that are in the business of selling weapons, the United States is a small player. Of all the weapons sold to foreigners, the United States sells 79% of them. Wow. Wouldn't you like to see this come to an end? I would. This June, Vladimir Putin traveled to Beijing, where he and Xi Jinping met in the Great Hall of the People to warn that in this time of growing global instability and uncertainty, Russia and China will deepen their consultations on strategic stability issues. Now, what he's not pointing out here, and Mr. Buchanan, are we being a little cagey here? Are we leaving out some important facts here? That Donald Trump wants to have a relationship with China and Russia as well, that benefits all parties involved. Silk Road Initiative, Harley Schlinger talks a lot about that. And then economic cooperation, if you've got an economic stake in the game, you're less likely to grab for a gun to shoot your partner's head off, okay? As long as it's mutually beneficial to all parties involved, that's what buys you a little bit of peace. But folks, we're trying to be this empire. As I stated earlier, we've got 1,000 bases around the world. This is costing us tons and tons and tons of money. We're in over 161, 162 countries. We have bases in 162 countries. Why? Manipulating and everything and everybody. We don't have the money for this. If just for the reason I don't have money in the cookie jar to fund your latest thing here, so no, we don't. And I am not against modernizing the military. I mean, we're still buying, we're still, they got B-52s out there. We got B-52s that were made in the 50s that are still being used by the military, and evidently quite effectively. They've kept the things up. They still serve a strategic purpose. But I'm not against having the best equipment. What I'm against is having the best equipment and then go beating up your neighbors with it. For no damn good reason at all. None that I can see. Oh, but that's right. You know, it's to protect American interests. So here's the part of the problem. You got bases and troops in 162 countries, and anything happens to even one troop at one base, that could be grounds for starting something militarily. Why are we there in the first place? Nobody is questioning this foreign policy. This is policy at the point of a gun. Not saying that the bases in these respective countries, they're threatening the population or the government directly. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, what are they doing there in the first damn place? Why do we still have troops in Germany? The war ended in 1945. Why? Get that smile off your face, Sam. John in Arkansas. There he is.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes?
You knew this was coming, so here we go.
Yeah.
All right, you're not responsible for slavery. But guess who is?
Who?
The United States government.
Why?
Because they allowed the importation of slaves. That's a fact that you cannot dispute.
Okay, so we want reparations. And as I said to you, John, yesterday, there's been $22 trillion pumped into the second part of the New Deal, and that didn't seem to make a difference. Things are worse. So you're going to be satisfied with a little cash in your wallet, huh? That's going to make everything go away.
Let me tell you something. The dope man makes deliveries. One call does it all.
I'm not sure I understood that.
The dope man makes deliveries. One call does it all. There's no such thing as armored, fortified crack houses anymore.
Okay, John, I'm having a little problem understanding what that has to do with anything.
I'm just using a metaphor.
Yeah, I know what you're using, but what does it apply to and how is what I'm asking you.
It applies to all the people that get a check, if they ever come. They're going to call the dope man on day one.
Okay, so you're
right.
Okay, so you're saying that the people that are going to get reparations are going to call the dope man?
Damn straight.
Okay, then why are you for reparations? To make the dope man happy, or to make the person buying the drugs have a happy night?
No, that means Uncle Sam won't get his money back since Uncle Sam bring the drugs in.
Well, you got a point there.
I can't make this up, man. I really can't.
Well, John, the subject of reparations, have you been listening to the show today?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
You were praying that I wouldn't call in.
No, I wasn't praying. I was expecting you to call in. I'm surprised it took you this long.
I got my own radio talk show, so, I do my own thing on my show and say it the way I want to say it. At Radio Occupied America.
Radio Occupied America. Never heard of them.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, look here. Check this out. The railroad owes black people reparations, even if you don't and your great-grandfather don't. Did you know the railroad was built with slaves?
Yep. And a lot of Chinese people with a drug problem of their own.
Well, this week, the Dutch government has made reparations to Dutch Jews because their railroad, when Germany invaded the Netherlands, was used to transport a lot of Jews to the death camp. Once again, the Jews know how to shake that money tree.
Well, and they...
What about us black people?
They do it by way of deception because, I'm sorry, there weren't 6 million Jews that were killed in Nazi Germany or in concentration camps.
I'm just mad at... I'm just mad at you white folks think that we are not owed anything.
Well, you're just going to have to stay mad at me because I don't owe you squat. I don't. I don't owe you anything,
okay,
man.
How come you ain't got no black people on RBN? That station needs some color.
I'm sorry. We've had blacks on this network before. We've had Jews. We've had Christians. We've had Baptists. We've had...
You ain't had me.
And I wouldn't put you on this network, John, because you got a skewed view of things.
Well, when you spend 20 years in prison, the last 5 years of your sentence solitary, you come out with a different view on how things should be.
Weren't you the guy that was running for president?
Congress.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Congress.
In Arkansas.
Okay.
Hey, in Arkansas, the home of Bell. I never had sex with that woman. I need to get back to work for the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's scumbag. But I suffered when he was the governor here.
John, why were you in prison?
Because me and another black man got into a fight.
And what happened?
There wasn't no white woman get...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
There wasn't no white woman that got robbed in a parking lot. Just me and another Negro pulling knives on each other. So how many white people in Harrison, Arkansas give a damn about two blacks trying to kill each other?
It's happening, and this is what I don't understand. I'm being told that there should be so much unity in the black community, and all I see is blacks murdering blacks. Now, you didn't go to prison for 20 years just for pulling a knife in a parking lot. What happened?
Well, number one, I tried to rush the cop. That was a big mistake. He had a gun out.
Yeah. What happened to the guy that had the knife?
Oh, he didn't get a date. You see, the state of Arkansas felt that I was recklessly indifferent to the value of human life. And therefore, I warrant a trip to the prison system. See, he didn't want to press charges, but the state of Arkansas insisted.
Man, you needed a better attorney. What were you charged? Were you charged with endangering the police officer with a weapon?
And, of course, the guy.
But the cop, was he black or white?
White. But I was also charged for being a second. I had a 3-strike on me. So I was also charged for that.
Okay.
So
but
there we go on that issue.
Yeah, okay, but no. Hold on here a second, John. The cop didn't shoot you. You had a weapon. You lunged at the guy, and he didn't shoot you?
That's correct.
Oh, well. At least you survived.
He said one powerful word. He said one powerful word. You want to die. On myself.
All right. Well, John, reparations, no. White people, by the way,
yes.
John, I don't get up in the morning and look in the mirror and tell myself what a wonderful white guy I am. I don't think...
The Jews got their money.
I'm sorry?
The Dutch Jews got their money this week.
Well, that's...
The French Jews got their money.
Well,
it's time for us to get out.
And you know what? Germany's been paying out reparations to the Jews for a number of years. Good for them. But not here,
well,
man.
You may not owe me, but the United States government and the southern states, they owe me they owe me plenty.
Did you hear anything? Did you hear anything that I said about the slave trade? That the chiefs of these tribes in Africa were actually the ones gathering up these soon-to-be slaves to be shipped over to America. Why not?
I know all about that.
You know all about that. Well, you can't go after them for reparations because they ain't got no money.
Actually, there's an African chief that says he's not going to apologize for it because in his family, it's a custom. Hmm. And he said, as the reigning monarch, he said that us black Americans can go to hell. Well, I would like to have a talk with him in a one-way alley. Then I can explain it to him when I got five young brothers behind me to that African chief, if you're listening.
All right, John.
That's what I think about that.
All right.
Reparations now.
Whatever. And I say no.
And I say yes.
Good.
We occupied America. Google it.
John, I'm running out of time, so you got to... You got to take my answer walking. Thank you for your call. Art, you're back. Hello?
Okay. John.
Yes.
Listen real careful. No, not you, the other John. Listen real careful because obviously you didn't catch this at the very beginning of the broadcast. Richmond versus J.A. Croson Company. 488 U.S., 469-497, 1995, so this is pretty recent. A racial entitlement is only permissible to remedy the government's own discrimination, not societal discrimination. It cannot provide race-based remedies that are ageless in their reach into the past and timeless in their ability to affect the future. Reparations for slavery would be just such an improper remedy. What that means, John, is that only if the government expresses racial discrimination is it responsible. Well, back during the days of slavery, my friend, slavery was not a government thing, it was a society thing. No slaves are alive today, no slave owners are alive today. Let the heavens deal with them as they may, because you, my friend, ain't getting squat.
I think he pretty much understands that.
All right, thanks, John. I got to get ready for my broadcast. You have a great one.
All right, thank you, Art. Wow. So the government. I think the government owes me reparations. How am I going to collect that? I just vote for my politician who promises it. Oh, by way of entitlements. I am so sick of this. You know what? The more I think about this, I think we have to have a national shut the hell up day. By the way, another thing here about Putin, he eviscerated liberalism, calling it obsolete. And there was a wide-ranging interview ahead of the G20 summit. In an exclusive interview with FT on Thursday, Russian President Vladimir Putin touted the growth of national populism in Europe and America while saying that liberalism is spent as an ideology. He spoke on numerous issues at length, which have broken down by topic. On the eve of the G20 summit, Putin said that the liberal idea had outlived its purpose as the public has turned against immigration and multiculturalism. Wow, this is the president of Russia talking about immigration and multiculturalism? Vladimir. His pushback on liberalism aligns Putin with leaders like Donald Trump, Hungary's Viktor Orban, Matteo Salvini in Italy, and Brexit insurgency in the UK. Putin said liberals cannot simply dictate anything to anyone, just like they have been attempting to do over recent decades. And on the issue of immigration and refugees, he said that Chancellor Angela Merkel's decision to admit over 1 million refugees to Germany was a cardinal mistake and praised President Trump for trying to stop migrants and drugs from Mexico. Putin said this liberal idea presupposes that nothing needs to be done, that migrants can kill, plunder, rape with impunity, because their rights as migrants have to be protected. Every crime has its punishment. The liberal idea has become obsolete. It has come into conflict with interests of the overwhelming majority of the population. Then he gets around to the election interference. While Putin has been targeted in the U.S., namely for attempting to intervene in the country's elections, now the Democrats did that themselves, Putin denied it and called the idea mythical interference. And I'm quoting him, "What happened in the U.S. and how did it happen? In the U.S., the leading U.S. companies, the companies, their managers, shareholders, and partners made use of these benefits. The middle class hardly benefited from globalization. The Trump team sensed this very keenly and clearly, and they used this in the election campaign. Is it where you should look for reasons behind Trump's victory rather than the alleged foreign interference? On the issue of China and U.S. trade, with regard to the ongoing trade war between the U.S. and China, I wouldn't call it a war. I'd call it, we're going to renegotiate the deal. Putin called the situation explosive, blaming the issue on American unilateralism. Quoting, "Our relations with China are not motivated by time-serving political or any other considerations. China is showing loyalty and flexibility to both its partners and opponents. Maybe this is related to historical features of Chinese philosophy, their approach to building relations." Well, that could be argued, Vladimir. He also expressed concern about the new nuclear arms race. He said the Cold War was a bad thing, but there were at least some rules that all participants in the international communication more or less adhered to or tried to follow. Now it seems there's no rules at all. What he said about Syria and Venezuela on the precarious situations, he said, "I believe that the Syrian people should be free to choose their own future. At the same time, I'd like the actions of external players to be substantiated and, just as in the case of the risk that you have mentioned, predictable and understandable, so that we can consider at least our next moves." He continued saying, "I believe that many things could have been done differently when it comes to the economy, but we do not meddle in things. It's none of our business. We are prepared for any developments in any country, including Venezuela, if they are taking place in accordance with the internal rules of the country's legislation, its constitution, and in line with the people's will." He also alluded to the relations with the UK were on the mend, relations that had stalled since the attempted assassination of former Russian double agent Sergei Skripal in England. The UK blames the Russian government for the nerve agent attack, but Putin has said, "Eh-eh." Quoting him, it says, "I think Russia and the UK are both interested in fully restoring our relations. At least I hope a few preliminary steps will be made. All you need is love." That'll do it for us today, folks. We'll be back with you next month. Oh, that's right. Monday's July 1st. What's tomorrow, the 29th? My Remembrance Day. At any rate, as the world turns and your host gets another year older, don't worry, we still got plenty of gas in the tank. We'll see you Monday. I want to thank you very much for being here today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible?
Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting.